Support comes from USC Online, providing exceptional online graduate programs, certificates, and upskilling for current and aspiring professionals. Explore your graduate options today with the University of Southern California at online.usc.edu.
This is Greater LA from KCRW, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Hey there. Happy holidays. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Of course, Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Time to be thankful for friends and family, good health. But it's also a day infamous for its messiness. You know what I'm talking about. Family drama, politics, those burnt side dishes you wish you could forget. Well, in the spirit of the holiday season, we asked you to share your most unforgettable holiday stories with KCRW. And today, on Greater LA, we're sharing three of them. We start off with Isabel Havens. She recalls the first time her now brother-in-law joined her family for the first time for Thanksgiving.
My older sister decided to bring her boyfriend, now husband, along to spend Thanksgiving with the whole family. And as a little sister, I was super excited for him to join us. My dad decided this year that he was going to bake a pumpkin pie for everyone. And my dad has a super long list of amazing skills and talents. I don't know if I would put baking at the top of that list. Sorry, Dad. But he decided he was going to bake a pumpkin pie for us. So on the day of Thanksgiving, my brother-in-law's there. Everyone's getting along. But I can tell my brother-in-law really wants to spend more time with my dad. He was still trying to get into his good graces. Dessert comes around and the pumpkin pie comes out. We're all super excited. We each get a big slice. My dad's really proud of what he made. It did look really good. We all go to take our first bite, and my dad forgot to put sugar in it. I don't know if you've had pumpkin puree without any sweetener, but it's definitely not the most appetizing. So me and all my siblings proceed to just start roasting my dad for screwing up the pumpkin pie, completely making fun of him for it. In the middle of us, you know, sort of complaining about the ruined dessert, I look over and my dear, kind brother-in-law is eating every single bite of his pumpkin pie and even complimenting my dad on how good it tastes. The rest of us definitely didn't agree, but it was very sweet of him to be so kind and to make my dad feel good about his pumpkin pie. I think they were the only two that ate it that year. And this is my favorite story about the holidays, so much so that on my sister and my brother-in-law's wedding day, I included it in my speech in front of everyone, just to make fun of and embarrass him a little bit. But I think it really shows a lot about the holiday season.
Well, there was this time. It was the mid-90s, and I was in college and had returned to my hometown in rural Southern Illinois. On Christmas Eve, I ended up hanging out with a new friend. Even though we had both grown up in the same small town, we had only recently been introduced. There might have been a little bit of a vibe between us. We ended up at my mom's house, just sitting there drinking cheap wine out of plastic cups and listening to the Elvis Presley Christmas album while she made coleslaw in the kitchen for our family get-together the next day. And it probably got to be around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. My mom was going to bed. He and I were both a little riled up, but it was 2 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Eve. And so we decided that we would drive around and look at Christmas lights. The center of town literally had a town square with the old style courthouse in the middle and about a dozen or so of those wire light up deer figures on the lawn. We parked, we jumped out of the car, we ran across the lawn, grabbed one of the deer, and stowed it in the back of his trunk. And we were laughing and giggling. And at that point, we were both getting very hungry and a little bit tired. But there was not going to be any place open at that time. So we drove a few blocks, took a right, and lo and behold, there was this yellow light spilling from these windows of this tiny cafe, which really blew my mind because I had lived in that town my entire childhood and never once set foot in that tiny cafe. So we had eggs and bacon and biscuits, and we sat there in silence, enjoying the moment. We left the waitress a generous tip, and then we got in his car. And as we drove through the center of town, we pulled the car over. We got the light-up deer out of the back of his trunk, and we returned it to its proper place on the lawn. We just did it. And then he drove me back to my house and dropped me off. And that was the first time that I ever hung out with him. And we're still friends almost 30 years later.
Let me set this scene. It's 2010, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. I'm 22 and in the throes of midterm projects. I have a missed call from an unlisted number and a new voicemail message. As an elder millennial, I wonder who even leaves voicemails anymore. With a sigh and much eye rolling, I press play.
Katie, this is your uncle. I need you to call me when I get this message.
Cue adrenaline. For the past couple years, he's been living in the valley as my grandfather's primary caretaker. By his tone of voice, something is seriously wrong. My imagination and anxiety are now running wild. I assume that Grandpa has to be in the hospital or dead. I can't find any of the phone numbers I need. So I give in and I call my mother. I just got this really weird voicemail from my uncle. This is what I think it is. My mother takes a deep breath and in one go says,
"Well, if you thought that I've been having an affair and your father found out and just kicked me out of the house, then yes, it is exactly what you think it is."
We're going to take a moment of stunned silence. Because this is a lot of new information. Oh, okay. Then Grandpa's all right?
Yes, honey. As far as I know, your grandfather is just fine.
I don't really remember that follow-up phone call, or truthfully, most of the numerous conversations in those subsequent days with either of my parents. For some inexplicable reason, my father, his brother, and my grandfather, who was, again, in fact, perfectly fine and not dead, decided that they were all still going to travel up the Central Coast to my mom's brother's house, where my mother, who he was still refusing to let back into our childhood home, and her parents would also be celebrating Thanksgiving. I've been told by those who suffered through the evening that the tensions were palpable. I was tickled when I found out a couple of years ago that my mom now refers to that Tuesday before Thanksgiving as Fan Day, as in the hit the fan, which makes this our 12th fanniversary since all of those infamous proceedings.
That was Isabel Havens, Tiffany Root, and Katie Shanks. Thank you to all three for sharing your stories. This piece was produced by KCRW's Danielle Chiriguayo. The original score and sound design by John Meek. And speaking of stories, we're still collecting submissions for some of your unforgettable holiday stories. You know, Thanksgiving is just the beginning of it before, of course, Hanukkah and Christmas and the rest of them. Before New Year's, we're collecting them into December. So if you've got a memory that you just can't shake, submit it to kcrw.com/holiday. Coming up, meet the art forger who could draw and paint like the best of them, except he wasn't them and made a lot of money that way until, well, you're going to have to hear that story, which is on the other side of this.